Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the Endout Show. Listen, we got a great program, but before we dive in, I want to remind you we have a free premium for the month of April. We have this booklet called Missions at Your Door. It's free for the entire month of April. So go to endout.ca. There's a promo code there for you. You can get it, and while supplies last, because they might go. Who knows? So get it. Enjoy the program. God bless you guys.
That sounded like you had more to say.
I know. I'm waiting for one more second.
I know.
God bless you guys.
Actually, I do want to mention. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Endout Show. Welcome to the Endout Show. Yeah, woo! Listen, we got a great program for us today. We have Shane Heilman from Grand Rapids, the Good Dakota. South Dakota with us today. We're going to be walking through a project he's doing, which is amazing, called the Psalms Project. But I just want to let you know, if you can like, subscribe, hit the notification, do all those things. Vincent probably showed up in the little corner there. That's fantastic. That really helps with algorithms, gets the message that we are giving out to you, and it notifies you when we release content. That'd be great. Greatly, muchly appreciated. Christopher, how are you?
Hello, I'm good.
I said your name, Christopher. You probably think you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's usually how that works.
Yeah, you're doing well, though?
Yeah, I'm doing really
awesome,
well.
Awesome, man. I'm excited about this conversation because, you know, I also like to songwrite, and we have a songwriter.
That's right.
Which is going to be really fun. A psalm writer.
A psalm writer. Well.
No, definitely
I guess he didn't write the song.
No, what I meant to say is, because it's a song, and well, you know what? Yeah. That was incorrect.
A psalm song.
A psalms songwriter. We have a great guest in third chair with us today as well. And I will just stop right there. You're probably thinking, wow, this is a little bit of a train wreck. It's not. I promise it's going to be great.
It's more of a dumpster fire.
Which is a really good thing that we learned, you know, because you're light.
That's right.
We are light and salt. Hey, when you hear this music, audio world.
It's Ginny of the Land.
Yep. You know him, you love him. The man with 500 plus voices, the man, the myth, the legend, Marcus Miller in the house. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We had to cancel this episode twice due to I have just a lot of pain with this issue with my back. But we were able to make it happen today.
We're here.
We're here. And the drugs are working.
Amen.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually on no drugs right now. And I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony in the episode with Shane.
Amazing.
Of God's healing hand on my life, which is amazing. And so I think we should just jump into the conversation. Just remind you, if you're watching, if you're listening, we really appreciate it. But what we would appreciate as well is some financial support. And I know we make jokes all the time. Like, oh, help us keep the lights on. Or, hey, it's really cold in here. And sometimes it is. And sometimes it's very hot. But that has nothing to do with our financial situation. But we operate with you guys as our support. And so whether you want to be a monthly partner, be an Endout Insider, get 20% off the store, or if you want to give a one-time gift, we really believe in the ministry that we're doing. We believe that young people need to be resourced with truth, with life, with hope, with purpose, and a biblical perspective to navigate all things that life throws at us. And so it's a very important ministry. We see a lot of youth ministry. There's not a lot of young adult ministries. I feel like after grade 12, it kind of dwindles. And so this is a really important time for young people. And so we really appreciate your support. But with that being said, I think we will dive into the interview with our brother Shane Heilman in the Good Dakota. So let's dive in and enjoy this conversation. All right, everybody, we have Shane Heilman in Rapid City, South Dakota. How are you doing today, man?
Doing awesome, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, bro. Thank you so much. I know we scheduled this and we had to cancel a few times, so I'm so grateful for your time today. For those who are watching on YouTube or listening in Audio World who might not be familiar with you or your ministry, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, because I love what you're doing. So fill us in with what's going on.
Yeah, thanks, man. So I lead something called the Psalms Project. That's the artist's name of what we're doing. And the Psalms Project is a band, essentially, of all kinds of people that I lead. But it's a band putting all 150 psalms to music in their entirety. So we include every verse of every psalm. And we really try to tell the entire story of the entire psalm from beginning to end with music. with full production, different lead singers, trying to use the very best musician and production talent that I can find. We basically tried to take the Psalms and help them be more understandable for people and also really pleasant to listen to so that people understand them better, internalize them better, can worship along with them. So that's basically what we do, is put Psalms to modern, fully produced, artful, hopefully good music.
Amazing. So how far are you along right now? Tell us like where you've got to.
Yeah. So I started writing these, it's kind of a long story, but really kind of got going with writing these back in 2009. Right now we just released on our website volume 6, which covers Psalms 47 through 55.
Cool.
So 55 is about as far as we've gotten. Okay. With the full recording production side. As far as writing goes, I'm a little ahead of that. I just finished Psalm 65 writing wise, and I'm working on Psalm 66 right now.
Amazing. That's so cool, man. And do you go through different translations, I guess, to kind of see how it fits musically? I can imagine that being like challenging.
Yeah, definitely. So my process kind of works like this. Usually I work off of, you know, the ESV, NASB, NIV, kind of those main modern English translations that are, you know, fairly literal. NIV is more of a, you know, phrase by phrase, or more of a dynamic equivalence, I think is what it's called. But I usually go off one of those. And then as the song is developing, I actually really like using this website called BibleHub.com. Okay. Maybe you've used it.
Yep.
But what's really nice about it is if you pull up a verse, it'll show you how that verse is translated in 30 different translations.
Yeah.
All on one page.
Yeah.
So that kind of helps me see, like, you go down, you're like, okay, like, I see this is the main way it's said, but these are some other ways that it's also said. And that helps give me ideas so that, you know, I'm sticking with the meaning of the verse, but also gives me some other options, you know, syllable wise, maybe even sometimes rhyming wise. So yeah, I use a variety of translations, but I also read commentaries to try to make sure that I'm capturing the essential meaning of the phrase as much as possible. So I try to stick with a modern translation as closely as I can, but where we do need to deviate, because there's just too many syllables or something just may not come out in a way that people understand very well, then I like to borrow from other translations in a way that still is accurate, but maybe helps people get it a little better.
Totally, man. Because I can imagine how hard that would be as a songwriter myself, just like trying to navigate, you know, all the syllables, all the things. So tell me what inspired, because I know there's a lot of people who do write songs based on the Psalms, but definitely just taking like themes and then being a little bit more, you know, creative with lyrics. But I love how you're just doing, we're not skipping a verse, man. Like you're just like, you're going to sing every single Psalm. That's amazing. So what inspired creating this ministry?
Yeah, it really started when I was on a mission trip. This is back in 2006. So this is quite a while ago, but I was on a mission trip at the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And I was just spending some time with the Lord, kind of some downtime with my Bible and my guitar. And really this idea just kind of came out of nowhere. Just this idea of, wouldn't it be cool if somebody put entire Psalms to music, beginning to end, using music as a tool to, you know, bring out the meaning, as a tool to kind of take people through the experience of the Psalm beginning to end. Because as you know, as you read Psalms, you know, they kind of have shifts, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, David's, you know, he's really struggling and he's crying out to God, but then he gets into this moment of confidence where he's just sure things are going to turn out. And then he gets into sections of just pure worship. And all this can happen within one Psalm. It's really fascinating to me. And also, you know, being a worship leader, I was kind of craving more scripture in the worship songs I was singing. And also I was kind of fascinated with the idea of, why don't our worship songs sound more like the Psalms? Why do the Psalms sound so different in so many ways than our worship songs? And I was trying to find a way to bridge those things a little bit somehow. How can we sing pure scripture and sing actual Psalms, which is what, you know, obviously the Israelites, the Hebrew people, sang in worship. They sang these songs. These are the songs they sang. So what if we sung them in our modern style? How would that sound? I was just intrigued by that experiment, basically. And I didn't really know of anybody who was doing that. There are definitely groups that do entire Psalms in music, like Sons of Korah comes to mind. You know, Brian Sauvay comes to mind, where they do entire Psalms beginning to end. Shane and Shane, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Shane and Shane, they're more of like ideas of the Psalms, and they build songs around that. You know, they're not quite, there's some Psalms they might go beginning to end, but it's pretty rare for them. So I knew people doing it different ways, but I was not aware of anyone doing all of all the Psalms with modern production. Like I was not aware of anybody doing that. So I was intrigued by that experiment. I knew it'd be difficult. There's a reason why no one's doing it. It's super difficult, right? But I was intrigued by that idea. And so that day I just started writing Psalm 1. And it sounded really different, obviously. It was kind of a weird song, but I liked that. It's, it felt fresh to me. And also, obviously, when you're singing the word, it's just, it's a blessing. So I started the song that day, really liked it, really liked the idea. And I kind of just couldn't stop at that point. I kind of got, you know, I guess, you know, just felt compelled by the Lord. Like, this is something you're supposed to do. And the more I did it, just the more confirmation from people and from the Lord that I got that, hey, this is something that people really want. And now 15 years down the road, I'm even more convinced than ever that it's something people want.
Praise God.
And people are looking for. So that was the initial inspiration was, wouldn't it be cool? Or, you know, maybe this is something that should be done. And I know it's not a new idea, putting Psalms to music. But again, in this way, I wasn't aware of anyone doing it this way. And that's the way I was feeling called to do it. So I kind of just stepped into it, started going, and the more I kept going, the more I liked it, and the more the Lord was just opening doors and confirming it. So that's kind of how it all started.
Praise God, man. I mean, we talk about, you know, the Word of God all the time at In Doubt and just the importance of it. And so you can't go wrong singing the Word of God. Like, I feel like the songs that I sing that are so scripturally, like just the whole lyrics are all from the Word of God. It just never gets old. It never, like, you can just sing it again. It's just fresh. Amen. It's like reading the Bible. So it's like so important that we're singing. So tell me, for those who are watching or maybe listening who don't immerse themselves as often as they should in the Word of God, specifically in the Psalms, why is the book so important for us today? Because I like how you said, you know, you can read through a Psalm of David and there's just like this crazy journey of like up and down, which really sounds like life. You know, why is it so important for us to immerse ourselves in the book of Psalms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, just in the Word of God as a whole, obviously. I mean, well, like the Psalms themselves say, like, I have hid your word in my heart. Why? So that I may not sin against you. You know, it puts it puts God's character into us. It puts God's thoughts into us, his mind into us, the mind of Christ. So obviously, putting the word into us transforms us because it's it kind of holds a light up to what's inside of us and forces us to make that decision to submit to it or to rebel against it. And hopefully, as Christians, we submit to it. As we submit to the word, obviously that transforms us, transforms our minds. But as far as the Psalms in particular, obviously there are a lot of things in the Psalms that don't always fit well with modern evangelical Christian sensibilities. You know, you've got Psalms that have passages that are somewhat uncomfortable and a lot of people don't really know what to do with them. And we certainly don't sing them in worship very often. In fact, sometimes these passages are even feel like, are they even scripture? You know, is this something that's for Christians today or not? And so I think it's important to read the Psalms because as we go through the Psalms, I think what I've noticed are certain things that go against what I would call just modern evangelical Christian assumptions about what God's like and really teach us something altogether different that I think is valuable for us to know and consider. And so I could, you know, give a couple quick examples, but I mean, some things I've seen just patterns within the Psalms over the years is you see the sovereignty of God so powerfully in those Psalms. And that's really, really important. And also you see the wrath of God in the Psalms, which is a theology that it's in the Bible. We need to get comfortable with it, think on it, and worship God for it because every aspect of God is good. You know, there is no darkness in him. So even his wrath is good. His judgment is good. And how does God judge? What are the different ways he judges? What are the different punishments he brings about? Those are things that help us understand who God is and his character and help us as people know, okay, what is the right way to handle, you know, discipline or punishment in society as a whole? I think we've lost sight of some of those things, which is maybe why our society is in the state that it's in. I think we're, frankly, we're too soft on sin in some ways. So I think reading the Psalms kind of, you know, has really kind of reformulated some of my theology to, I think, be more biblical in those ways and other ways. And also just the depth of the love of God. I don't think we fully understand the depths of the love of God in evangelical Christian society because the love of God does include his discipline. Yeah. Like it says in the scriptures, like whom he loves, he disciplines.
Yeah.
You know? So just a deeper understanding of all the aspects of God's love, other than just, well, he's really nice. Well, he is really, really nice and really, really patient. But how does that manifest itself in the life of the believer? I think some of those things we've lost by kind of ignoring certain parts of the Psalms, for sure. And there's so much more I could go into, but there's so much theology in the Psalms that I never saw before when I was just reading through them without studying them. You know, you kind of, you know how it is when you're reading the Psalms, you're reading through them and you're kind of looking for quote unquote the good verses.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that we understand in our modern context.
Yeah.
And we skip over the stuff that's kind of culturally a little bit, you know, we don't have our feet on that very well. So we kind of skip over it, or phrases that, you know, are more, again, culturally specific, or like, well, I'm not sure I like that. I'll just skip over it.
Yeah.
And I think we miss so, so much when we don't fully experience and study them fully, when we're just kind of skimming them for what we want to see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're bang on, man. And even when you think of like our modern worship today, you know, we're both worship leaders, songwriters. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of churches are just doing like, you know, the latest songs that honestly sound like just love songs to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife or whatever.
Right.
We don't sing a lot of psalms, and there's not a lot of lamenting, and there's not a lot of just like this deep theological worship in a lot of modern day churches. It's interesting you say we find ourselves in these interesting predicaments because we've lost this foundation. Do you incorporate a lot of these songs you guys are writing in your worship sets, or how would you encourage people who maybe attend churches or are worship leaders that have not, you know, included this type of worship and just deep theological worship in their churches?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So the tricky part of doing entire psalms, obviously, is some of them get very long.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
So, and of course, there are Psalter hymnals that are fantastic that have been, you know, there's tons of them that have been created over the centuries where, you know, they're designed for congregational singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of gone through an evolution a little bit. So when I first started the project, I was really just trying to create great music for people to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if one of these happens to be one we can sing in worship because it's, you can learn it quickly and easily because it's shorter or simpler or whatever, great. So I'd say there are definitely some in our catalog that work well for modern worship. They do get sung, you know, CCLI, their minor on CCLI. I do get checks from CCLI, which is, I think maybe it's international, I'm not sure, but it's the American, you know, worship song. So I know people are singing them.
Yeah.
So I would just encourage people to listen through. And if you find something that you think your congregation really love, then use it. A lot of the songs, frankly, are just probably too long and just have too many different melodies going on to keep it interesting to sing it congregationally. But I would just encourage worship leaders, just pick songs that are as scripturally based, scripturally sound as possible. And, you know, challenge your congregation with maybe some theology and some ideas in scripture that maybe you haven't sung before, maybe you're a little uncomfortable with. I think it's important for us as Christians to wrestle with what's there rather than to, you know, obviously try to tiptoe around what's there. It's there for a reason. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for training in righteousness. And so, I would just encourage worship leaders, you know, if you use some of our songs, great. You use some of Brian Sauvé's songs, great. Hey, pull out the old Scottish hymnal. And one thing I've been doing recently, I've noticed this in the last, you know, probably like 10 to 15 songs I've written. I've noticed my songs kind of moving a little bit more in kind of what I'd call a metrical direction or a little more in a hymny or a little more of a congregational direction as I've moved along. Because I think when I was younger, just at first, I just wanted to create awesome art, you know? Yeah. So I just wanted something great for Christians to listen to that they could internalize the Psalms. But now as I'm going along, I'm seeing more of the value in congregational singing.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to move more in that direction now.
Yeah.
So you'll probably see my earlier stuff is a little wilder, and now my later stuff is getting a little bit more. You'll see the move to a little bit more of a congregational style. So I'm trying to move in that direction. And actually what I'd like to do is create kind of both, like create more of the artistic versions that just go where the psalm goes and let it do its thing. And don't worry about the congregationality of it as much. Of course, you want to write good melodies.
Yeah,
but don't worry so much about the congregationality. But also, I'd like to create, you know, more volumes of just, these are great congregational hymns.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I would like to do both. Yeah. Right now, I'm trying to do both at once.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like seeing where I need to kind of maybe like let them both breathe a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I really like that. What are some maybe challenges or obstacles bringing this to fruition? Or maybe there's some challenging passages that you've gone through that really like ministered to you or challenged you on this process so far throughout Psalms?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest challenge putting Psalms to music is sometimes it sets up this way where, you know, you've got this melody going, the section going, and everything just fitting together perfectly. Like, man, this is going to turn out great. But then you've got this one extra phrase in there, you know, before you get to the chorus, and it's like, oh, man. And, you know, you have this thought, you hate having this thought. If this phrase wasn't there, it would work so much better. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, or like this phrase at the end of the chorus, I guess we got to put it in here. But man, it just like songwriting wise, it just doesn't. So you have working with those are like the most frustrating moments is when like, oh, how do we get this in a way that really does the text justice, but also does the song justice? That's obviously the toughest balance. Mm-hmm. As far as challenging goes, one psalm in particular that I'll talk about that was a little more challenging to put to music as far as, okay, how do I do this? How should I do this? Just one quick example would be Psalm 52. I haven't gotten to the hardest psalms yet, which I would say be 109 and 137. Those will be really interesting. Those are probably the two most like controversial or what I would say like brutal of the imprecatory psalms. So those will be interesting. But Psalm 52 is an interesting one to put to music because it's a psalm. It says it's a psalm of when David was, you know, talking about Doeg the Edomite. So if you don't know the story, David is fleeing from Saul. And he runs into this priest, and the priest gives him Goliath's sword and gives David and his friends this bread. This guy kind of helps them out when they're running from the king, right? But then Saul finds out about it, and he confronts this priest. I think his name is Abimelech, I think. And Saul orders this priest to be killed and for all the priest's families in this town to be killed as punishment for helping David. I mean, it's a brutal story. And no one wants to do it. You know, Saul's like, okay, guys, kill these people. And they're like, we ain't doing that. That's crazy. But then this guy named Doeg the Edomite steps up. He's like, okay, I'll do it. And he slays 80 priests and their families. I mean, wicked. I mean, horrible. And of course, David feels bad about this, right? Because, you know, it wasn't directly his fault, but because he went to this guy for help, this guy got killed and this whole town basically got killed. And so Psalm 52 is David singing to Doeg the Edomite, who just did this thing. So you can imagine what David has to say. It's not very nice, right? And so it's like, this is a psalm that David was writing in response to Doeg the Edomite. And it goes, you know, why do you boast about your evil, O mighty man? The steadfast, loyal love of God endures all day long. Your tongue plots evil like a razor. You're full of deceit. He's basically, it's kind of like a diss track is what it is. You know what I mean?
This needs to be like Eminem hip hop, like just.
Right. It's kind of like he's just dissing. Like he's like, look, like, you know, why do you do this? Like this is, you're doing this, you're doing that. And it's actually the psalm that contains the phrase, God's going to cut you down or God's going to break you down, which is the old Johnny Cash song. Yeah. Not sure if you're familiar with that. So basically the first six verses, David's just like eviscerating this guy.
Sheesh.
Right. And then it shifts in the last couple of verses. Then it says, but as for me, so then David's talking to Doeg, and he says, but as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. The steadfast love of God endures forever and ever. So I guess I could turn this around on you. So how would you put that to music? You know what I mean? Like what would be like the tone, the musicality, you know, like, well, you kind of answered it already. Yeah. You'd make it like a Eminem type hip hop song, right?
Yeah, it would just be like a very aggressive, like just rap battle.
Right. So that's one approach is like, okay, David's obviously angry as he should be.
Yeah.
Let's make it aggressive and let's make it like, you know, let's go after it. You know, let's say like, this is what a godly man would express about how he feels about the wicked. Right. Or you could do it in a more tender way. Like David's like, I'm so heartbroken over this that you're like this, but that's not the sense that I get from the tone that David's like, I'm so heartbroken for Doeg. I wish he'd come to the Lord. He's like, no, God's going to get you.
Yeah.
That's the tone.
Yeah.
So that's what I went with. I went with kind of like a, you know, kind of an energetic kind of like rocker with maybe a little bit of swagger in it. It's kind of like, God's going to get you, you wicked man. And that's the way it kind of feels a little weird. Like, I don't know how people are going to respond to it.
Yeah.
If you want to hear the song, you can go to our website, get our new album. That's the only way you can get it. But it kind of felt a little weird to be in the studio singing like, God's going to get you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then it goes into a section of worship at the end.
Yeah.
So I kind of like shifted tone and kind of like, the, and the end is just worship. So we've got both of these in the same song.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So those cool, are the kind man. Of, that's,
those, yeah. But that's what I love about the, this is like the creativity and the creative process the Psalms bring out. They bring out this, this songwriting creativity that, you know, goes, you know, it kind of gets you out of that verse chorus rut a little bit, creating worship songs. It's like, let's just follow it where it goes and see what happens musically. And I find that really, really fun and exciting.
That's so cool, man. All psalms, and this is a question that maybe some people don't know the answer to, but are every single psalm a song?
Yes. So every this word is interesting, though, what the word psalm actually means. So we get the word psalm from a Greek word, psalmos, which literally means song. Mm-hmm. So psalm literally means song. But then in the Hebrew, it's kind of interesting. The word for psalm in Hebrew is mizmor. And so sometimes in the Psalms where it says like a Psalm of David, what that's literally saying, I believe, I hope I don't get this wrong or else I'll be embarrassed later, but I believe it says a mizmor of David. So that's the Hebrew word for a psalm is a mizmor. But the word of the book of Psalms is not actually called Psalms for the Hebrews. The Hebrews call it Tehillim, which means praises. So the book of Psalms is literally called praises by the people who wrote it. But yes, every psalm in the Psalter, my understanding is that these were songs that were composed and used. I mean, they were obviously some written as devotional poems to God, but then eventually were picked up and used as corporate worship songs for the temple, you know, for the cultic temple when they were singing together. So yeah, my understanding is that these psalms were songs. So this is a compiled songbook by the song leaders of Israel.
Yeah, so cool, man. And it's, you know, when you mention Psalm 52, where it kind of talks about like, you know, this, you know, God's going to get you, but God. I love how a lot of the times you see but God and it turns into this praise and worship. And I'll tell you, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we had to cancel a few times and, you know, I felt really bad about that. But I was at a meeting with a dear friend of mine. His name's Ivan. He's a theologian. He's wrote an amazing commentary on Proverbs and teaches Psalms classes at a university here. And we had a meeting, and at the end of the meeting, I was just in a lot of pain, and I just kind of broke down weeping because I was just in so much pain, and he felt so bad, and he was praying for me. And his one recommendation for me is like, brother, go home, and when you get home, read the Psalms, is what he said. Open the Bible, read the Psalms. And I thought, that's fascinating advice. Why would someone, when they see me suffering or going through hardship, why would his first response be, go home and immerse yourself in the Psalms? Mm. Tell us the importance of Psalms and what it does to our souls.
Yeah, I think what the Psalms do is they really give us a very, I think, clear and specific way to approach God and to have a relationship with God. Mm. It's kind of like almost like, here's what relationship with God looks like if you're talking to him, which I find super helpful. And obviously, like David, a lot of the Psalms I found have very similar elements to them. Like they may not always be in the same order. They're not always the exact same structure. Sometimes they bounce from different elements to different elements, but they almost always end up in the same place, which is really interesting. I'll get to that in a second. But here are some common elements we see in the Psalms, and I think they are instructional for us as to why they are so helpful to us in prayer. So I think maybe one thing your friend was referring to is when we read the Psalms, what we see David doing is he is obviously, he's crying out to God. So his first, I love this, because it seems like David's first move is always to go to God with his issues, because obviously, like as humans, our tendency is to, you know, go to people to comfort us, or to go to entertainment, or to go to substances,
or figure it out ourselves somehow,
right?
You know?
Yeah, or just think and agonize to ourselves. Yeah. It's interesting. Psalm 13 says, "How long must I search for answers in myself? All the day long." He's kind of like, "I'm tired of trying to just figure it out myself.
Yeah,
like this is not working." But anyway, So first thing he does, he turns to God. He cries out to God and goes to God. It's very important. I mean, it seems super simple, but we're really bad at it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's going to God first, because God was David's everything. I mean, God was David's source of counsel and wisdom and love and strength and power, all that. David saw God as his source for everything. He went to him because God solved everything for David, you know? Yeah. So, but anyway, another thing he does is David articulates his problems to God and his feelings very specifically. Mm. And again, that seems so simple, but we're really bad at that. But one thing it's really good to do, I think, is to just, if we're struggling with something inside, of course, Philippians says, like, you know, let your request be known to God. Like, what does it say? Don't be anxious for anything, but make your request known to God, then the peace of God. There's something about telling God, God, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
This is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
This is what this person is doing. And that can feel awkward to us because obviously God knows what's happening, right? But I think it's for us. There's something about, it helps us process the situation. And something about telling it to God reminds us that this is not too big for God, right? There's something about that, like telling God all these problems. And you see this happening to David. It's really interesting. David will be saying, God, they're doing this, they're doing that. They're, you know, I feel like this, I feel like that. Doing this seems to bring David to a better place.
Wow.
Pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah.
Because he'll start out the psalm like, you know, I feel like this, I feel like that. Oh, there's stuff going on. But then he's like, all of a sudden, it's almost like the light turns on for David. He's like, but wait a second. This is not a problem too big for God. But God, you are the God who does this. You're the God who does that. It's like he wakes up to the truth all of a sudden. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. So there's something about pouring out our hearts to God. And it literally says that in Psalm 62, pour out your heart to him. When we do that, there's something obviously cathartic for us. But also as we're talking to God, there's something that reminds us that God's like, God hears this and God can handle it. Like, this is not a big, suddenly realize these actually aren't big problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something about that. And then also, then David goes into sections of confidence.
Mm.
And this is where he starts to declare what, actually declares what God's going to do. It's really interesting. He's so confident in prayer because he's in this covenant relationship with God. David understands life in terms of covenant. God, you've made these promises, so you're going to do them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just got that confidence about him. You know, like, these people are being wicked and I have not done anything wrong in this situation. I'm actually trying to love them. So you've promised that, you know, the wicked won't prosper, but that you'll take care of the righteous. So that's what you're going to do here.
Yeah. I love that.
That's how David saw things. And so he goes to the section of confidence where he's like, you're God over this, you're God over that. And this is what you've promised. And this is what I'm clinging to. And this is what you're going to do. And this kind of elevates David into just pure worship.
Mm.
So after the confidence, all of a sudden he ascends to the end of the psalm. This is where almost all psalms end up, which is really, really encouraging and fascinating. They almost all end with confident worship.
Yeah, praise God.
No matter what situation David's in, he ends in a place of just like, and then God, when you do this, when you deliver me, when you do this awesome work, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to do this.
Man,
or he even praises God for what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And when he's in a terrible situation, he's already praising God for what God is going to do.
Yeah.
He ends the psalm ecstatic.
Yeah.
So you see David go literally, and Psalm 13 is a great example. It starts with, how long, O Lord, will you forget me?
Yeah.
Six verses later, he says, I will sing praise to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me.
Yeah.
So he goes from that to that in six verses. So many examples. Psalm 54 is only six verses, but it has all these elements. You can see them laid out. First thing, David just lays out his basic prayer. Yeah. God, vindicate me by your name, save me by your might. That's what he's wanting. Then he says, for evil men pursue me. They're coming after me. He's telling God his problems. He's telling God what's going on. Then he goes into confidence. Behold, Elohim is my help. Adonai sustains my life. And then he says, I will praise your name, O Lord, for your name is good. So he kind of goes from supplication, telling God what's going on, confidence, declaring the truth, and then worship.
Yeah,
that's the progression of the Psalms. So I think that's why your friend told you to read the Psalms, because
so good,
even when David's like, these, and you think about these situations, like Psalm 34, Psalm 57, David is in the cave hiding from Saul in those Psalms is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's on the run, probably feeling very lonely, living in a cave, like not a great situation, you know, definitely in a situation where you could really despair. But read those Psalms and see how David responds to those situations. Mm-hmm. He overflows with gratitude and worship in those situations, you know, even in a really, really tough spot. So the Psalms are instructive for us about how we can have joy and worship God no matter what the circumstances because of who he is.
Yeah, it's so good, man. I love how it ends with such confidence. and how you can see that every time. It just kind of like, you know, and what my friend Ivan said is like, you know, it's okay to lament. It's okay to complain and bring your requests. But he said, don't grumble. So there's a big difference between grumbling and, you know, bringing your complaints. So God, this is how I feel. Right. And he compared it to like, you know, wandering in the desert and just grumbling and grumbling compared to David going through this hardship, but God, and it transitions into this confidence and this praise and worship. And so it's okay to be real. And for all those who are watching and listening, this is a great example of what prayer life should look like. Just being real, being honest, sharing how you feel, sharing your struggles, what's going on. And you're right. It's fascinating. I've been in ministry for a long time and I'm really bad at it. I'm really bad at just like, okay, I'll take meds and I'll do physio and chiro and acupuncture and I'll do all the things first before saying, hey, Lord, I'm really struggling physically and I just need you to touch me and help me and give me the strength and then turn it into a confident worship. How easy I just turn to myself and to others and to or numb myself by watching something funny, whatever the case is. It seems like prayer and going to God is almost a last resort instead of a first response.
Absolutely.
And so the Psalms really do help us get that recalibrated and get the right process. Just be real with God. Go to God first. David went to God first every time. That's so encouraging, man. One more question for you. And I'm just out of curiosity, since you're immersing yourself in the Psalms and you've been all about it, do you have a favorite Psalm?
Yeah, I do. I actually vacillate between two.
Okay.
But, you know, even now I'm vacillating as I sit here. But so I'll start with one of my favorites for sure is Psalm 32. What I love about Psalm 32 is it's such a picture of the gospel. Mm. It's such a picture of the complete forgiveness we have in Christ. Of course, Paul actually quotes it in Romans 4 in reference to the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord does not count any iniquity. Mm. I love that we have that right there in the Psalms.
Amazing.
That it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not count iniquity. Doesn't count iniquity against him. And it kind of goes into, when I kept silent, you know, and this goes back to what you were saying before, pour out your heart to him. Like when I kept silent, my, when I kept silent, I'm thinking of the song now. So I can pull up the words. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day and all night. You know, these visceral pictures of agony we see in the Psalms, which is really reassuring to us. They're like, oh, someone else feels like that. Cool. But, you know, when he kept silent, but then I acknowledged my sins to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I laid it bare before you. And then I received forgiveness of my sin. And it talks about like just really almost salvation experience. And then at the end, I love it, goes this kind of instruction. It's almost like he says, blessed is the man who's totally forgiven. Now let me tell you how I got there. I was in this period where I was hiding stuff from God. I wasn't coming to him. I wasn't in the light. I was hiding in the darkness. But then I came to him. He forgave my sins. Then he's like, now listen to me. At the end, he's like, now listen, listen. And I love how David's, he's such an evangelist. So many times in the Psalms, when he's having these experiences, he turns to us and he says, do this. Yeah. Listen, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He's really exhorting us from the Psalms. I love how King David can exhort us directly from the Psalms. He's like, listen, trust the Lord. So you see at the end of the Psalm, he's like, listen, here's my instruction. You know, don't waver from him. And sometimes he just says, you know, it ends with, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you righteous. Shout for joy, you upright in heart, is how it ends. Because the gospel is not only good news, the gospel is the best news you could possibly conceive of.
Yeah.
No human being could possibly invent better news than the gospel. Yeah. That's what I love about Psalm 32. And then Psalm 40, I also love because it's my testimony. You know, it starts with, I waited patiently for the Lord. He listened to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Because I was suffering from depression in my teens. I was pretty lost. And the Lord just found me. He just plucked me out. And by God's grace, I haven't experienced depression for 25 years.
Wow.
I was just totally delivered.
Wow.
So that psalm really speaks to me about, you know, just, I relate to it. Like, that's my story. I was in a miry pit and he just grabbed me, took me out. He set my feet on a rock, the rock of his word. He put a new song in my mouth, which is kind of literal for me because, you know, look at me now, I'm singing. But you know, that Psalm, you know, obviously is a favorite of mine too. And those are probably two of my favorite songs we've done as well.
Cool.
I sang Psalm 40 myself because it's just so personal to me. So.
That's a good word too, because a lot of people who are watching may be struggling with depression and just even realizing, hey, some of our heroes in the faith wrestled with being down.
Absolutely. You
know, don't feel like you're alone in this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Psalm 42 is a great example of that. About, I think Martin Lloyd-Jones actually wrote a book about Psalm 42 called Spiritual Depression. Because that Psalm 42 really, a lot of the Psalms really speak vividly about depression in a way that people who are depressed really relate to.
Yeah.
Along those lines, because of my heart for people struggling with depression and anxiety, we actually put together a collection of Psalms called Psalms for Sleep. And it's a collection of only our quietest, most soothing Psalm arrangements. So it has Psalm 91, Psalm 23. Psalm 42.
Yeah.
But
not
it's a Psalm
52.
Not Psalm 52. Yeah. That one
might keep you up at night.
We might put the back half of that one on Psalms for Sleep. But so those Psalms, and those Psalms specifically, I made that for people struggling with depression and anxiety, who are struggling with sleep disturbances or trouble sleeping, because that's common for people struggling with depression, anxiety, is trouble sleeping, just trouble calming their minds down. Yeah. And so people have really, really enjoyed that just as a resource, just listening to the word of God, because obviously I believe that the best cure for anxiety is the word of God, believing the word of God, because I think the main cause of depression, anxiety is believing lies.
Yeah.
We're believing lies. Yeah. And, you know, it's easier said than done,
of course,
but just focusing our minds on the truth, taking every thought captive, believing the word of God. That's what lifted David out of moments of depression. Was he's like, but this is your word, and this is what you're going to do. And he chose to believe that, and he chose to worship according to that, and he chose to expect that answer from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. I mean, even it lines so well with what Jesus taught about prayer as well. I think it's in Mark 11, but it's this verse that isn't talked about a lot, but it's just this verse just blows me away every time I read it. I'm like, is this really in there?
Mm.
Jesus says, believe that you have already received it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what David did. He believed he'd already received what he'd prayed for.
Yeah.
And granted, sometimes God can say no. I'm not talking about like a name it and claim it kind of theology.
Sure. Yep.
But there's something about, I think when we pray to God, things we know are good, things we know are his will, we should expect them to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't happen, it's like, oh, we're kind of surprised. Like, God has the power to say no, but we're kind of like, oh, like I was expecting to get what I asked for.
Yeah.
That seems to be the expectation of the Bible for prayer, is that we actually expect the answer. I love Psalm 5. It says, then in the morning, I will lift my prayer to you and I will watch for your answer with eager expectation. That's the way we should pray.
I love that. And I can see how the name it and claim it, blab and grab it theology could take some of these passages and say, oh, that must be what it means. So I can, you know, get a jet plane and just do whatever the heck I want and control the weather.
Right.
But it's interesting, because that confidence again that David has in just knowing that God's going to come through. And yes, God is sovereign. And if he answers differently, we trust him and we love him and we know what his plan for us is so good. But but we have that eager expectation of seeing him unfold how he's going to respond to our cries. I love that.
Amen.
That's so
and
good.
And especially especially the covenant promises. That's what David named and claimed. He didn't name and claim a jet airliner. He named and claimed the covenant promises of God.
Big difference.
The scriptural promises of God that God had made to him and to his people.
Yep.
And then James is instructive here too, because James says, you know, you do not have because you do not ask. So that's one reason our prayers don't get answered. We don't ask.
Yeah.
And then the other reason he gives is very instructive. He says, you also do not have because you ask with wrong motives, seeking to spend it on yourselves.
Yeah.
So there's a real key to unanswered prayer, is if you're asking with wrong motives, like if you're asking according to God's glory and God's covenant promises, like David did, like what were David's prayers? Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
Yeah.
That's different than give me $1 million.
Yeah. Man, and you know what? So my son, he's 5 years old, and we've been reading the Bible together. My wife and him have been reading the Bible, going through, you know, just Holy Week as we're recording this. And he read through the fig tree, the cursing of the fig tree, ask anything, you know, you can do greater things, mountain and cast it into the sea. And so my little boy is 5 years old. He's like, oh, so I can like ask for like, you know, candy and Pokemon cards to rain down from heaven? And I'm like, I mean, you could. It's not. Is that ultimately going to give God glory, or is that kind of for your own personal motives? I'm pretty sure it's for personal motives. But it's been really cool to navigate that with him. And actually, the other day, and I was just telling this to Marcus and Chris in the room here, my back is so bad. And, you know, he was just laying, I was laying in his bed a couple nights ago, and he said, "So, Daddy, I have faith, right?" I said, "Yes." He's like, "Because I believe in Jesus, right?" "Yes." "So, can I move mountains and do amazing things?" "Yes." "So, if I pray for your neck right now, 5 years old, could God heal you?" And I said, "Yes." You know? And so we prayed together. And it was so beautiful. And I went to my room after, and I was in tears. It was just like such a precious moment. And I just prayed, okay, Lord, even just for his sake, so that he could see you move and give you glory, I just pray for a touch. You know, I never prayed like that before. And so went to bed the next morning. He came running into the room. "Daddy, Daddy, like, did it work? And I felt like significantly better. And I told him, and we rejoiced, and I know it's going to be a moment he'll remember forever, but it was a different prayer. Like, Lord, not even just to heal me for my own sake, but if it gives you glory and he sees your glory and your works and he puts his trust and it builds a foundation that you are good. And man, what a testimony. This happened just like literally the other day, the day before yesterday.
That's awesome, man.
And so I love how you're saying that. It's like when we just... you know, not name and claim to get Pokemon cards and candy raining down from heaven or a jet airliner or $1 million, but if we're just declaring that everything we pray for gives God glory and points to him, God will do amazing things and we can be confident in his goodness. That's so cool, man.
Absolutely.
Bro, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and all the best to you. We're going to resource everyone with a link to get your songs and to get more information about your ministry. So we'll have that available for all those who are watching or listening. Go to indel.ca and get those resources. But thank you for your time. Thank you for what you're doing. It's important. And I can see how it's changing your life. And so we encourage everyone to go listen, get the music, and immerse yourself in the songs and the Psalms. And all the best to you as you continue this amazing endeavor.
Awesome. Thanks so much, brother. Thanks for having me. God bless you.
You too. Well, that was really good.
It was.
That was really, really good. And like how I don't give you guys a warning when I'm going to start. I just start. And
it's fine. Got to roll with the punches.
We got to roll with the punches. That was a really good conversation. I was very blessed. And you know, you can see how passionate he is. He is like immersed in the Psalms.
Yep.
And you can see that it's like changing his life. Just a good reminder for us to be not only in the Psalms, but just be in the Word of God. I love the project they're doing. Chris, you were mentioning that you know someone else who has a project that does not the Psalms, but just does the other books in the Bible?
Yes.
Was it addition?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he's good. We'll leave the link in the description of if you guys like 90s hip hop. There's a rapper named Addition who's pretty good, kind of bad.
But yeah, we've actually interviewed a guy named Cody Curtis from a group called Solos, I guess.
Who did the interview? That was a while ago.
That was Isaac.
We'll leave that in the description too. That's a good resource.
It's like episode 52 and 97.
52, 97?
52 and 97. Oh, he's been on a couple of times.
Twice, okay. Episode 52, episode 97.
They went through like Hebrews and Philippians and Romans. Again, verse by verse, putting in some music.
I actually really like that. And honestly, I have memorized so many scriptures from when I was a kid, singing them in like Sunday school and all that stuff. It's actually like very helpful. I know Addition did that too. Like when I was talking to him, he did that for his ordination interview.
Interesting. You seem to know this guy pretty well.
We're very close. But at the same time, he drives me nuts. Marcus, you thought that was a good interview?
I did.
Nice. We wanted to play a little clip. Yeah. I forgot we wanted to play a little clip. I don't know how to, like, I really wanted to like intro it. Instead of just throwing it somewhere. Check it out. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's really cool. I mean, like, I love the idea of like trying to artistically create the emotions with all the different psalms. That's pretty cool. And I also want to say that I like that he has like the psalms for sleeping, like for those who are battling anxiety, depression, all that stuff, and they struggle to sleep. So,
Yeah, I really like that.
Well, no, just, okay. No, I feel bad, dude. I can't do that to you, man. You're the best. We were going to have this thing where I interrupt him and say, no one has time for that. But I just love this. Look at this guy. I love this guy. You guys are the best. And you guys who are watching are the best. And you guys who are listening are the best. You're all just the best. Well, maybe not everybody. But, well, I can't say that. That's
not,
a little
not
bit mean.
Not that doig guy.
Yeah, and not like North Dakota. Like, I mean, I'm just kidding. We made a joke about South Dakota being the best Dakota because that's something from like a VeggieTales reference.
Yeah.
So we're not bashing anyone from North Dakota. We love both Dakotas. Huge Dakotas fans. Anyways, this needs to stop. We love you guys. Again, we'll give you resources, endo.ca. Link in the description so you can see the Psalms Project. You can get some of the music. You know, we'll support these guys. They're doing great, great work for the kingdom. And we hope you were blessed by today's program. Immerse yourself in God's word. Spend time in the Psalms. Be open to God. Speak to him. Share your concerns, your heart, and have that confidence knowing that he is with you always. So God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.
Nice.
Bit of a gong show, but I think that's fun.
Feels like it's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. I feel like it's been a hot minute, speaking like hot Cheeto.
Yeah. Hey, room tone?
Room tone. Oh, yeah. Room tone. It's the room tone. Have a yabba dabba doo-da. A yabba doo-da. A yabba doo-da. Day.